I have a bit of an issue with Chris, what he's been saying recently about the self-employed model. He seems to think it's a sort of great idea, the default setting for state agents, certainly in the future, and I seriously, seriously beg to differ. Chris, talk to me.
I'm of the opinion, Simon, and thank you for joining me today, that a state agency needs to change. There's an awful lot of people out there, valuers, who, through no fault of their own, are wanting to take their career to the next level. The normal default is you go and set up your own estate agency, but, you know, due to life, due to the fact they can't even probably even afford to buy a home, they can't find the 50, 60, 100 grand you need. So I'm of the opinion that self-employed estate agency is a good choice.
I think you're missing the point entirely. Whether somebody's self-employed or whether they're working for an established estate agency is, in my view, irrelevant. And actually, if I can say respectfully, I think when I read through even your latest blog about how important it is to work hard, that is the element to success.
I agree that working hard, in fact, John Paul said working smarter and hard, whilst being hardworking, is absolutely vital. But that's what you do, it's your why. And surely, I mean, you know, setting up your own business, creating an asset for yourself, surely has to create value.
Yeah, it's arguably true. But when you look at the front line where all the magic happens, where people are interacting with customers and potential customers, I've seen no difference between people using the self-employed model and people who are employed by state agents. I've seen no correlation between either of those models and success.
What are you basing your not argument, because we're not arguing, we're discussing. What are you basing your findings on? From someone's social media presence or actually in your towns that you operate in that someone's actually started their own agency?
Oh, that's a really good point. I have to confess, it's anecdotal largely. That said, measuring market share, which I know in itself is not an absolute, but measuring market share is a reasonable way of looking at. And I have seen as many estate agencies like our own that have the standard employed model competing against agents that use the self-employed model.
Okay.
And I've not noticed the difference in terms of success using that measure.
But let's be frank, Simon. The self-employed model really has only got traction in the last 12 months. You know, the EXP models, the Keller Williams models, you know, they've only, I know they've been around a few years, but only really getting traction in the last 12 months. If you started a new agency in a town, you know, in a part of the Thomas Morris network, I wouldn't expect your next office to be a market leader within 12 months.
No, okay, I think that's a fair and reasonable point. I think that is a fair and reasonable point. I just get the impression that you've been promoting the self-employed model as the default setting, when I think it's only an option. And I really do believe that the employed model offers significant more advantages, from my perspective, for most people that want to become an active and successful estate agency.
Okay, so what are those advantages?
I would say there are three distinct advantages. The first advantage, I would say, is in respect of someone's career options. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I mean by that is that whether you're a big agency or a small agency, if you're employed, there are generally career options, even sometimes a formal career map. And I think that that encourages and inspires people.
Okay, you're going to get that with your Connell sequences, your LSLs, you know, your Thomas Morris is part of that. But the vast majority of people work for independent estate agents.
Yeah, but most of those independent agents, I say most, but I think most of them I come across, have either a formal or an informal career development plan for their employees. Whereas if you're working under one of the banners for these self-employed models, that's it, really.
Okay, but if you work for a one-man band, which is the vast majority of UK estate agents, you're waiting for dead man's shoes.
Not necessarily.
And surely the boss of that estate agency who set up their own agency was an employee previously.
Yes. That was a situation with myself. Yeah. I don't see why there's a tension here between us. Because in my view, all I'm saying to you is, even for the one-man bands, there's room for development for people. But that's just one of the three advantages.
Okay. What are your other two?
The other two is, I would say that the traditional employed model offers a more collegiate approach for a state agency. I'm generalising, but I would say it's a more collegiate approach, it's a more teamwork orientated approach, whereas I think the self-employed model is a bit too reliant on an individual performance. And of course, they have support services too. So that more collegiate and team orientated ethos, I believe, overall, is going to be more likely to produce success.
I have to agree with you on that one.
Okay.
So what's the third then?
The third is security.
Okay. You are the master of your own destiny if you set up your own self-employed estate agency.
Don't agree, but anyway.
Go on.
You give the impression that you are the master of your own destiny if you're working for yourself, as if you can decide what's going to happen and none of the other variables are going to have any impact. I feel that's a cliche and an oversimplification of what the situation actually is.
But if you know, if you're an employed agent, but your boss is appalling at marketing, and you're out doing, you know, you're reliant on other people. Well, now if those other people are great, they're going to come back to the support thing, which I agree with you.
Which is
the more collegiate approach.
Yeah.
But there's an awful lot of estate agents out there that feel like they're banging their head against the wall.
Yeah, but I'm talking about security. What I mean by that is that if you work for a company, big or small, and you're employed by them, there is an element of security. Now, some people might think that's a dirty word and might prefer this sort of what you might refer to as the eat what you kill philosophy.
Uh-huh.
But I believe that if one is confident enough and secure enough in what you do, you know you've got a basic salary coming in, you know you've got some commission payments coming in on top of that, you know all your taxes taken care of,
mm-hmm.
you know all those variables are taken care of, that gives you a sense of security rather than perhaps in some situations some of the time, if you're working for one of these brands on a self-employed basis, perhaps a sense of insecurity.
I can't disagree with you.
No. And the reason I can't overly disagree with yourself, I think one of the situations we've got here is that neither model is perfect. They've both got their pluses and their minuses.
Right. Just for the record, I am a huge fan of the self-employed estate agency model.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, I believe 80% of estate agents are not good enough for it.
Okay. I would suggest to you, I don't know the stats, and you've probably just...
These are just my opinion. Should I tell you why I don't think they're good enough?
Go on.
Because I'm just flying the flag for self-estate agency. I'm not here, I don't get paid to recommend anyone. I'm just here as someone who likes to talk about the industry, and I think it is a great model for the right people.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But I believe, due to the amount of the people that are in our industry,
yes,
it's great for around 20% of them,
yes,
but not so good for the other 80%. Yes. And it comes down to mindset. Does that mean that the 20% who are good enough for self-employed estate agency should go into self-employed estate agency? No. It's just another type of marketing. It's another type of agency model, which I think people should seriously consider. But it isn't the panacea. It isn't the be-all and end-all. And people come to me and say, which model is best? Keller Williams, EXP, Mayers. They're all coming out the word. In fact, it seems to be de rigueur to open up a self-employed model. And I say they've all got good and bad points.
Yes.
Okay. And really, you shouldn't be judging on what percentage you give away. It's what do they bring to the party?
Of course.
You know, the bottom line is this. If you set up your own estate agency, you keep 100% of the fee.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down the franchise model, your Belvoirs, your Northwoods, you get to keep 90% of the fee. For 10%, you get their legal backup and you get their forms, you get their marketing branding. The EXPs and your Sean Newmans and your Keller Williams, you get to keep 60 to 70% of the fee.
Yes.
But it's a trade-off, isn't it? But they pay for your right move. So you either pay for your right move up front and keep 100% of the fee.
Yes.
I mean, would you set up your own estate agency again today?
That's a really, really good question. I think I probably would.
Okay.
But so, I would use, if I was fortunate enough to set up again and I was fortunate enough to be successful, I would not use the model of eat what you kill, I'll give you 60% of the commission or anything you generate. What I would do would be to set up a progressive package for somebody which involved a basic salary, a few extra straighties, and individual and team commission all combined. And that's the way, frankly, okay, we run
Thomas. But let's just say you set up Simon Bradbury estate agents. If you go down that route, you're going to need 50 to 100 grand, and some of these 20-30-year-olds haven't got 100 grand to their name.
Yeah, as I said, perhaps there's not that much of a difference between what we're saying. I am not saying that that model, the self-employed working under one of those umbrella brands, is wrong. I'm just saying, I think the way it's being propagated at the moment is that this is the way forward, this is the best way to go.
I can see why you say that, but it's interesting that a lot of people say I'm the champion for self-employed estate agency. What they fail to look at is that I always preface that, if yes, that's the word, by saying it's not for everyone. Most of you aren't good enough because you're really good at converting valuations, but you're completely shit at getting.
You see, well, that's where I would dispute. You've used that phrase two or three times, not good enough, as if only the really good people.
No, hold on. I think it's mindset.
It is. It's all down to mindset.
Of course it's mindset.
Yeah.
But how many... But the question I always ask, because I get loads of phone calls, Chris, should I go into self-employed estate agency? And the question I always ask the valuers, because it's normally valuers and listeners, is how many of the 50 valuations that you have been on, the last 50, have you created by either your direct actions of marketing?
Yes.
As in cold calling us valuations, working the database... Or how many have actually rang you on your mobile or sent you a DM direct to your estate, to you?
Yes.
And the best I've ever seen out of 50 is 3 or 4.
Yes.
Which means, now the valuers out there say, well, I'm too busy to generate my own valuations. I'm sorry, you're never too busy. And what I'm trying to say, Simon, is there's a large majority of valuers who are great at converting the free val into the listing.
Yes.
But whether they've lost the skills or don't want it, because most valuers, they love to be a people person, and their biggest fear is rejection. So they hate business generation because of the fear.
Oh, yes.
It is, unless you can get that one nailed.
Yes.
This is what I'm trying to say, is unless you can get over those fears.
Yes.
It doesn't matter whether you're a part of an EXP or anything. Can be a great converter of listings, but if you ain't getting the value in the first place.
That's where
the advantages of big firms and marketing and branding come in. You know, you're Thomas Morris, you're a big firm. You generate your business because of your branding. And if you start by yourself, it's scary.
Mm. Yep, okay. I'd slightly dispute that we create that because of our branding, unless you use branding in a more general sense. Mm-hmm. A lot of the business we do get, yes, it is through our branding, but it's also through the experiences that previous clients have had or heard about from friends.
Okay. I would say the same thing.
Okay.
It's the same thing.
I'd slightly turn around again this idea that you said about, are you good enough to work for yourself? I'd say I'll put it a different way. Are you good enough? Are you good enough for an employer to invest in you what they need to invest in to enable you to enjoy a career at a particular company?
Do you think we as an industry, therefore, have put the ability to convert on a much higher pedestal compared to the ability of a valuer to get them to self-generate their own vows?
Yes, possibly. Yeah, that's possibly. Of course, from the outside, it seems very simple. It's either self-generated or it's generated by the company itself. It's never as simple as that. It's very, very often a combination of the both. You know, somebody goes out because they've seen a great advert, or the inquiry comes in because of a Facebook ad or something like that. But then when the person goes out there, they really get on well with the person, does a professional job, and then they might recommend to another. It's normally a lot more sophisticated than simply either self-gen or being brought in by the company. And when you say the best I've ever heard is 3 or 4, even those 3 or 4 that people say, well, that's because of me, what was it? And the ones that came in from because of the central marketing, was it?
Okay.
It's normally a hybrid of the two.
So what would you say to somebody who is working for, you know, in a one-man band?
Yes.
Or working for your Connells or your Sequences or Heart or any of the other big brands countrywide, who's thinking, I want more in life, I want to own something. I mean, you've been an employee, then you started your own estate agency, then you got bought out.
Mm.
So you've been through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Do you think you could have worked, do you think what you know now, do you think you'd have been happy just being working for a corporate estate agent from day one?
Obviously, I don't know. I'm not going to avoid answering the question. Obviously, I don't know because it's who knows what would have happened. I think not, to be honest with you. I think not. But different strokes for different folks.
But remember, you do work for LSLI, which is their independent arm. So if you don't mind me saying, knowing the back, knowing what I know of LSI and Greg and the team, you're not a normal corporate, are you?
No, we're not. But
honestly, you are run. You've almost got the best of both worlds with LSI.
Yes, yeah, I do know what you're saying, but honestly, that is totally...
It's completely different to working for a Connells Sequence. Because I talk to so many people, and you know, okay, Connells Sequence are going well, are doing all right, but some of them are just, they're not enjoying it.
No, but I don't necessarily think that's got anything to do with the model. It has to do with the mindset of the individual.
And so the somebody... mindset of the boss as well, and the way they're
being
managed.
My goodness me, yes. I would say the culture, and as we all know, the cliche, culture eats strategy for breakfast, probably lunch and dinner as well. If the culture's set up right there, and people feel that they are valued, and people feel they've got some opportunity to move forward...
You're coming at it from a firm which is well known for good things.
Yeah.
Are you trying to say that the people who work for the corporates should get a slice of the culture and instead of losing their best valuers, they should actually be increasing their culture, better culture, their values and mission statements and all that malarkey?
Yeah, of course, I use the word culture, and it is one of these vague sort of things.
But it's not something you can particularly write down, but it's so important. No. People want to come to work and people want to come to work and feel they're making a difference.
That's okay, correct.
I agree with you on that.
And I agree with you.
And I also agree with you that doesn't have to be, that is not, you don't, the self-employed agency model is not the only place you're going to get that. I'll give you that.
Yes.
Okay. I also believe that people want to make a difference, and the self-employed model is an option, yet there are as good, if not better options for the right firm with the right culture.
Yes.
So we kind of do agree with each other.
We sort of gone full circle, I guess, because I concede the challenge that you put out there about if the culture isn't right.
Yes.
Perhaps a self-employed model would be the right model
for the right person
in the right place at the right time.
I agree with you on that one.
How boring.
Yeah, well, we got there in the end. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. These are our thoughts when it comes to self-employed estate agency. It's not for everyone, is it?
No, absolutely not.
You've got to decide whether it's for you. And setting your own agency up and you know, probably borrowing some money from friends or family or even the bank to set your own agency and go 100%. At the end of the day, the choice is yours. And that's what it is, a choice, isn't it?
It is.
Simon, thank you for your time today.
No hassles.